Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Thursday. It's September 24th. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Got a full hour for you ahead. 15 seconds on the lay of the land. We'll jump right in. Ramon Valadez, the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, will be in the next few moments on our live line to give us a comprehensive update on a few things: Pima County, economy, region, COVID, all of that. So we'll have him on in just a few minutes. George Hammond carries us through the balance of this hour. Economist from the University of Arizona. We'll talk about how we're doing. We'll talk about the housing market, which continues to heat up, how the economy is doing through COVID, and more. So that's our hour here that kicks off with Ramon Valadez in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask him about Pima County starting a small business grant program yesterday, announced September 23rd. And I'm gonna ask Ramon about this when we chat here in a minute, because I want to make sure that I have all my facts straight. I don't want to be a purveyor of misinformation, but things like this continue to fuel my concern. There, the word finally came. The coffee's kicking in. Fuel my concern that there has been so much emphasis on public health without also an emphasis on how do we pair public health with economic health. And I continue to see different regions and parts of our country that have been, even in some cases since April, really focused on the economic rejuvenation from this pandemic or epidemic or whatever it is. Is this too little too late? I know there was some concerns of this with the city of Tucson getting their grant dollars out. Again, these are all dollars from the CARES Act, the federal stimulus from COVID-19. Some even on the council, the Tucson City Council, all Democrats, some said, man, it just took us too long to get these dollars out. We got to get it to people quicker. Is it too little too late? We'll get Ramon Valadez's thoughts on that as well. I also want to talk to him about the University of Arizona. I continue to be a little bit confused, and I want to get my facts straight, because if you look at the numbers, there has been a slight increase. Last time I looked at them, a slight increase in COVID cases. There are some hot spots on campus that seem to be getting a lot of looks. But to my understanding, and I'll clarify this with the supervisor, when you look at staff and faculty across a 10-day period and longer, when you look at students overall, the numbers have been hovering around where we want them to be. And I will continue to confirm and affirm that with the supervisor. And so I guess I'm just curious, what is the way forward for the University of Arizona in terms of how the county looks at that relationship? How is the county involved? I think what I'm always looking for is, what is the plan? It certainly seems like here's the favorite word. Our listeners will be very happy about this time. I usually fit it in once an hour. Here we go. Pivot at least a couple times a week. The plan always seems to pivot. What is the plan? What is the strategy? We'll also catch up with the supervisor. How is that voluntary quarantine going? So that's what I'm going to ask him. Yes, there's hot spots. You've got your fraternities, your sororities, some of your residential places. But overall, across the board, aren't things looking pretty good, right? We're not, you know, trying to infuse our own opinion to this, but are we in a good place? Is it good? We're going to ask the supervisor about that as well. Feel free to call in 790-2040 if you have a thought or a question. I'm also going to catch up with the supervisor on the Viva Coffee House situation. Try to get some insight there. This was the gentleman who came into the supervisor meeting about a couple weeks ago, and now at this point, and started off by reading comments that were made towards his business, but didn't really get off on a good foot. It seemed like the supervisors felt like he was swearing at them. It just didn't go very well, and it escalated from there. I'm going to ask how the supervisor thought that was handled from both the board and from the owner of Viva Coffee House, and trying to make sense of that situation. So that is our show today. Those are my thoughts. That's my opening monologue. That's what's on my mind. That's where we're going after this first break. Let's go to that first break. When we come back, Supervisor Ramon Valadez will be with us again, followed by George Hammond, economist at the University of Arizona. Full hour here. We just got started. Come on back in a minute.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. Services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit. 25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to DecibelCoffeeWorks.com for more info. Tucson, good morning to you again. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studio, joined now by the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Ramon Valadez. Ramon, good to have you on. Thanks for your time as always. There's a few areas I'm looking forward to getting an update from you on. And if you don't mind, I'd like to start with the University of Arizona your perception on that and kind of the county's approach to it. The most recent day of tests that we have numbers for, which was 923 yesterday. 966 tests were administered, 38 were positive. It's a 3.9% positivity rate. Since testing's begun, Supervisor, on August 4th, There's about a 6.4% positivity rate, a little bit higher in the last 10 days, 10.8% positivity rate. I was looking, it's about the same between on-campus students and off-campus students, a little bit higher on campus, but not that much. These numbers seem to be okay, maybe not awesome, but not bad. Is that a good view of it, or how is the county approaching this?
Well, I'll tell you what, remember, I don't typically go with the day-to-day data just because the way the records are actually kept, one day will be exceedingly high, one day will be exceedingly low, and so we generally try and look at trends. So we try and break it down to at least week-long increments or number of days. And I'll tell you what, right now, if you take a look at the time period between September 13th and September 19th, we had about 961 cases, positive active cases in Pima County during that time. And glad to report, actually, that the south and southwest sides, which were hotspots before, seem to be clearing up. Of those 961 cases, 687 of them are collectively in the study area around the University of Arizona. So obviously, you can tell the bulk of those positives are around the university campus. So that's kind of the issue that we're looking at. If you take a look at a little bit more of a breakdown, if you look at previous months of July and August prior to the arrival of University of Arizona students, the age category really of 19 and below tended to be really one of the lowest of all of them. And remember, these are just infection rates, not necessarily that they needed hospitalizations. In September, the highest age category were between 19 and 0 years of age, which is typically going to be the category that most University of Arizona students are going to be in. We saw all the other categories drop, but that one is in September so far has grown and is the number one category with the most amount of people in it at this point. About a week ago, Mayor Romero, President Robbins, and I sent out a letter to all of the University of Arizona off-campus student housing facilities that we were asking them to voluntarily take some measures to really kind of prevent the further spread of COVID-19, and have asked for that voluntary compliance as well, with the understanding, the letter was very clear, that there are other measures that we can look at beyond just the voluntary, but initially we were asking for voluntary compliance. We've shut down, or they have voluntarily shut down the pools, and it appears at this point that they're in compliance with that, because prior to that, there were some out-of-compliance pool parties. What we've seen is that there's been some off-campus activity, and President Robbins told us that there was one on-campus activity that he didn't know about until it was occurring that they dealt with as well. And once UAPD and TPD responded, they were in compliance fairly quickly. So that's what we're looking at right now in terms of the University of Arizona. So we are working. It is a continuous dialogue between the University of Arizona, the county, and the city of Tucson.
Do you expect that there will be a required quarantine at this point? If you had to take a guess, do you think the U of A will put that in place next week?
I think that if President Robbins and Dr. Carmona really see a need for it, they are doing it. President Robbins made that very clear to us that they are starting to expel students under the student code of conduct that are out of compliance with the student code of conduct in this pandemic. So they're getting very, very serious with people who are in violation of the student code, particularly in this pandemic era.
Ramon, I want to ask you about something that was very much in the news. We'll likely circle back to the U of A here. I think we have a caller on the line if we can get there before we close. I've been watching, and it was in the news to some extent, the situation a couple weeks ago at a supervisor meeting where the owner of Viva Coffee House came in and started reading off comments that were made about his business, did not really introduce why he was saying what he was saying. You shut things down really quick, and there's been threats back and forth, threats from the county of $1,000 day fines, I understand. The business still on the website of shame. And then I believe the owner also is threatening maybe some legal action against the county. Do you look back on that and maybe wish you hadn't responded as quickly as you had and was understanding that he was reading comments made about his business? Why did you shut it down the way you did?
Thank you for asking that. And actually, it's a website, not even a wall of shame, and they're not on it, ironically.
Were they taken down? Because they were on
at one point, right? No, they weren't. there's a lot of ironies in this. And I'll tell you what, at Viva Coffee, we'd had a number of complaints. They had been investigated. They were, for the most part, making good and legitimate attempts at being compliant. And at one point in time, they just decided that they were done. They threw out a health inspector, refused to do follow-up health inspections. And at this point, last Friday, I believe, we got a memo from the county administrator advising the board that we are pursuing the other legal actions through the county attorney's office. So it's, you know, they weren't on the wall of shame. I didn't know who this gentleman was. I will tell you what, and I know I've gotten criticized for my actions. And here's why I did it. Okay, if I went into his business and started behaving in the same manner that he was behaving, would I be allowed to stay in the business? Because remember, the board of supervisors is not my place; it's the place of the public's business. So to disrespect the board, you're not disrespecting me, you're disrespecting the public. And I treat it as such. That is the place of the public's business. If you're going to come up, and there's parts of it that we're missing, and not a lot of good reporting was done on that whole thing. For example, a reporter who reported on it at 5 p.m. that afternoon didn't even bother calling me until 4:41 that afternoon. So it was real clear there wasn't any interest in hearing our side. He actually was asked to wear a mask, as it is in compliance both with my guidance for the hearing room, with the board policy that was adopted on May 19th, and with the governor's order that doesn't have a medical exception. None of them have medical exceptions in the board hearing room. And he said he'd try and wear the mask. He took it off. I asked him to put it on. He then asked me, and I don't know how much of this actually was seen on the video. He told me that if I let him speak, that he would put it back on. And I told him, I said, hey, if you fill out a green sheet, that's all you have to do and you get to speak. I don't know what the issue had been. He said, I've already filled one out. I said, okay, great. Then you'll get to speak. I asked him to put on his mask. He had pulled the elastic band on one of the ear bands off and showed me that it wasn't working anymore. And it's the one we had given him when he'd come in. I asked staff to then put it back on. He then put the mask on, not correctly, intentionally, I'm sure, and then without any precursor, started cursing. And I won't repeat what he said because I know there are families listening to your show. I asked him to please stop that using that language. He refused. I asked him a second time. And he said that he was he had to read it, that I was going to have to read it, listen to that as well. I then responded to him and I said, look, if you're not going to behave by the rules of this chamber, I'm going to have you escorted out of the room. And he insisted on using that same language. I then asked the sergeant at arms to please escort the gentleman out of the room. Sergeant at arms came, and this is a gentleman, it's a tall gentleman, big guy. And my sergeant-at-arms, probably about 5'7", 5'8". So my sergeant-at-arms walked up to him, and he's a sheriff's deputy, sergeant, asked him to please follow him. At this point, he actually then lifts his hands and plants them on the podium in a show of defiance. At this point, I've already instructed my sergeant-at-arms. Now it's an interaction between the two of them. I am not part of this interaction. The gentleman then made it very clear he wasn't going to be leaving. I don't know what his intent was, but clearly he wasn't going to be listening to the sergeant at arms. At one point in time during that discussion between the two of them, the sergeant at arms then said, sir, you're resisting. At which point in time he said, I'm not resisting, I'm just strong. One of the chiefs was in the back of the room who is his height. and came up and assisted Sergeant Roher in getting the gentleman out. He was booked, but that was not. I asked him to leave the room. I asked Sergeant Arms to escort him. It was his own behavior that got him arrested. And so the truth. Look, if I'm allowed to go into his business and behave in that manner, then by all means, I was wrong. But if I'm not, this is not my place. It's the public's place. This is a public place of business. So I made it very clear. I gave him three different warnings. He made it very clear that he was going to do whatever it is he wanted to do. And so, no, I don't regret having done that.
Supervisor Valadez, we're ticking down just under 2 minutes here. I want to bring this piece up. Pima County just announced yesterday starting a small business grant program that will provide businesses up to $10,000 to businesses and nonprofits, about $1.7 million that can go to mortgage payments, rent costs, lease payments, utility expenses. Minute and a half, is there anything that the county can do or will continue to do to make it easier for businesses to understand the goalposts, understand resources available, kind of recover economically from the pandemic?
Yeah, as you know, this is, I believe, the second phase of that program, third, if you consider what we were doing with the Downtown Business Alliance.
Yep.
Really, what we're trying to do is make it easier. Initially, in the second phase, what we're trying to do is make it easier for businesses to access the PPEs they need to be in compliance. In this case, obviously, it's to offer additional assistance. Obviously, we don't know where that goalpost ends, but we're trying to help as many of our businesses locally as we can.
Supervisor Valadez, that takes us to the end. We went a little bit longer on some things than I thought. To our callers on the line, if you want to leave your question with Tom, I can get those to Supervisor Valadez. But Supervisor, thanks for coming on and letting us update on a couple of the things here in this last week and for updating us on Pima County response. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Ramon. We'll talk soon. Tucson, when we come back from bottom of the hour news and sponsor messages, we will get to hear from George Hammond, University of Arizona economist on our region. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, we're back Thursday, September 24th here on Tipping Point. Thanks for joining us. We just wrapped up our conversation in the last segment with Supervisor Ramon Valadez, the chair of the board of supervisors here in Pima County, catching up on a couple items in the news, including University of Arizona Small Business Grant Program. And the item that was in the news for a bit over the last couple weeks with Viva Coffee House. Ask him about that as well. We continue our hour, and we'll finish up our hour with George Hammond, the Economic and Business Research Center Director at the University of Arizona, with an economic outlook on our region here as we continue through the recovery and management of COVID-19. George, always good to have you on the air. Thanks for your time. How are you today?
I'm great, Zach. How are you?
Doing good. Staying safe and healthy, I hope.
Good.
Super. I'll just kick it over to you for a brief report. How is the economy going? How is the hopefully economic recovery going here after that hit in March, April, May? How are we doing here in Tucson and Southern Arizona?
Well, the big news in terms of the economic data for Arizona in August was the release of the unemployment rate data last week. And what that showed was a giant decrease in the state's unemployment rate from 10.7% all the way down to 5.9% in August. So the big question was, what did that mean? And where I come down on all that is that this data, particularly the unemployment rate and related data, are really volatile, particularly during the current year. And that kind of current year volatility tends to get revised away or smoothed out once we get the revised data, which will happen in this case in March of 2021. So I don't think it's something we want to put a lot of emphasis on. The data has been volatile just in general, and this data set in particular is often volatile on a month-to-month basis in the current year. So what it did suggest was also not particularly comforting, because what drove the unemployment rate down so much over the month in August was a big decline in the labor force. And what it suggested was that a large number of unemployed people had stopped actively seeking employment, which is required for them to be picked up as part of the unemployed based on the official measure. What news there was was not particularly good news. But the jobs data, which is a little bit more reliable in the current year, suggested that we did add jobs in August. Both the job gains in July and August came at a much slower pace than they did, initially in May and June. And that's something that we kind of expected. And it's driven to the sort of the characteristics of how the recovery is playing out, with the opening up of businesses, allowing restaurants to open and then bars as well, and then shutting the bars down is going to make things a little bit choppy. But I think where we're at this stage is slow, gradual improvement. We are building our way back to where we were before the pandemic, but it's going to take a while. I think it'll be probably the second half of 2021 before we're back to where we were.
So we saw some jobs added, but we saw less people interested in participating in the job market. Is that the right way to summarize what you're saying, or is it not that simple?
Yeah, that's the right way to think about it.
Okay.
We did see some job growth, but in terms of the unemployment rate,
interesting.
It was offset by people dropping out of the labor force because they were no longer actively seeking employment.
What do you make of that? That there are jobs available, even if the rate of growth of that is less, but there's less people interested in participating in the job market. What do you make of that? What does that tell us about what's ahead?
Well, it may tell us that there are large numbers of people who aren't seeing the jobs they had before really come back, and they may have been anticipating that those jobs would come back, and they were out there looking for employment, actively seeking employment, and they now may have become discouraged. When people get discouraged, they stop actively seeking employment, and they fall out of the labor force. So that may be part of the story. I wouldn't be surprised if that, you know, if it was part of the story. I think the, you know, the monthly data is so volatile, it may be exaggerating what's going on.
Sure.
So, you know, it's something that we'll want to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
As we go forward in coming months.
Yesterday on the show, George, I had the director of economic initiatives, Barbara Coffey, for the city of Tucson on, along with one of the partners of an initiative that the city funded through one of their grants for workforce development, basically a rapid certification program for people to get a certificate in internet information technology, rather. Are we going to have to get more serious maybe about some of these more rapid retooling, reskilling of our workforce? Maybe someone who can't find the job that they found before. Do we need to be providing more of those accelerated education models so that people can get skilled in a different area and re-enter maybe the jobs that are opening back up?
Yeah, I think that's a really useful approach. And continuing along those lines will be helpful going forward. You know, we still have the biggest problems in the travel and tourism industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we track that weekly data on our Arizona's Economy online magazine at azeconomy.org, and you can also get there through the MAP dashboard at mapaz-dashboard.arizona.edu. And you know, that weekly data is really telling us that the recovery that we were initially seeing in, you know, air travel has just stopped. You know, nationwide, the number of passengers passing through TSA checkpoints has just stabilized for, you know, almost the last 3 months at about 5 million passengers per week. And that's, you know, way down from,
jeez,
you know, well over 10 million per week prior to the pandemic. We're seeing the same kind of issues with the data that we track for restaurants. You know, we've seen some recovery, but, you know, it's just going to take time. It probably will be into, you know, next year, around the middle of next year, before that sector really starts to recover significantly. So, you know, it's going to be a while before those jobs come back, and the more options that people have to find employment now, the quicker they'll get back into the labor force and get back to work.
We're talking with George Hammond here to the balance of this hour of Tipping Point this morning. He's the Economic and Business Research Center Director and a research professor at the University of Arizona. Last time you were on, George, you mentioned that one of the things you were going to be watching out for is what would happen when stimulus dollars, you know, went away, or unemployment dollars went away. I think it was the end of July. Maybe you can clarify my terms if I'm mixing terms there. But there was basically a safety net of dollars going to families that was going to go away in July, and you were waiting to see what would happen in terms of recovery and all the things that you just mentioned. What have we seen as that went away, and as Congress has not put forth a second, or I guess it's a third wave of stimulus dollars? We haven't seen more economic stimulus from the federal government, and probably won't at this point. How's that affected all of this in your mind?
Right. So the CARES Act significantly boosted unemployment insurance benefits. It had the $600. Supplement that was added on top of the regular state benefit, which in Arizona, the max benefit was $240 per week. So that raised it to a maximum of $840 per week. That ended at the end of July. It was temporarily replaced by a $300 per week supplement, which was enabled by an executive order signed by the president diverting funds from FEMA for this purpose. Those funds have now run out. So even that $300 weekly supplement ended roughly last week. So now we're down to the $240 per week maximum benefit here in Arizona. And, you know, the boost that we got from the UI benefit expansion through the CARES Act was huge. That was, you know, well over $11 billion have been paid both through the regular and the federal programs to unemployed people in Arizona from March through September. And that's big. That's, you know, over 3% of our personal income last year. So as that drops off, it will gradually start to impact, you know, consumer spending, and it will have ripple effects on that will spread across the remaining industries. So it's going to matter. It will take. It won't happen. You know. Rapidly necessarily, but it will start to remove stimulus from the economy, and that will slow the recovery.
Right. George, before we go to our last break here of the hour, when we come back, I'd love to talk with you about the housing market, which I believe still is presenting better news in terms of just plain economics, even though, you know, our prices are getting higher of housing. At least I'd love your update on that. Is there an inflection point? Is there a tipping point, George, where we are not opening our businesses and our economy back up to a level where we're prioritizing maybe public health to a point where we really damage recovery? The wording in my head, George, sounded a little bit better in my head before it came out of my mouth. But is there a point where we don't open up and we seriously damage the speed of recovery, and there's kind of a point of no return where maybe we prioritize the public health piece to a point where the recovery takes 6 to 12 months longer than it could have if we maybe balanced the two pressures better? Does that make sense?
Sure. You know, it is at this stage of the pandemic, it is a bit of a balancing act. You want to keep in mind that the, you know, what people choose to do is going to matter. So the more control that we have over the pandemic, and, you know, we as ordinary people have a lot of control there in terms of wearing a mask, social distancing, you know, not gathering together closely in indoor environments where the virus, at least based on what we know to this point, is one of the best ways to spread the virus. So the more control that we have over it, the more comfortable people will feel, and the faster that we can get back to normal. You know, this isn't just about the government restrictions. A lot of it is about what we choose to do, and the more that our choices result in a reduced spread of the virus, the better chance that we have of recovering faster. So there's a balancing act, but I think it's more of a balancing act that needs to be reflected in everyday people's choices.
We're talking with George Hammond, again, economist from the University of Arizona. About once a month, we ask George to come on for a couple of segments to update us on the economy. We did this before COVID, but here as we hopefully emerge from this epidemic, that this is an all the more important conversation. We appreciate George coming on, George Hammond coming on to walk us through this. When we come back from the break, we'd like to end with a report on trends in home values in the city of Tucson and Pima County. We just looked on a report yesterday from the MAP dashboard, Making Action Possible for Southern Arizona, on these numbers, and would love your update on that. How's the housing market in Tucson? That's where we're going right after the break. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings, and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at Mass Mutual a call. at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started. What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at StorytellerPR.com to learn more. The Tucson Museum of Art is preparing to reopen after COVID-related closures and are excited to introduce in July 2020 the new Kasser Family Wing. The new wing will allow visitors to experience 3,000 plus years of Latin American history at the Tucson Museum of Art, where you can explore works of art from ancient to contemporary and one of the only exhibits in the country like it. TMA is excited to welcome visitors under new safety protocols. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to plan your visit.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA. Tucson, welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with George Hammond, economist at the University of Arizona, making sense of our economy and our region here economically as we proceed through the response and recovery from COVID-19. George, I wanted to talk about the housing market. In 2019, Tucson had the fourth and may still have the fourth lowest median home price among the 12 Western metropolitan areas measured by the MAP dashboard. That also is paired with Tucson having the second highest home price growth rate among its peers at 7.1% in 2019. So still low comparatively, but seeing a pretty substantial jump in home prices. My impression, George, has been that it's continued despite COVID throughout much of 2020. How's the housing market? And are we continuing to see prices increase as supply still remains constricted?
Yes, we are seeing house prices continue to rise at a rapid pace. The median home price in Tucson rose by almost 13% over the year in August. That's good news for sellers, not so good news for buyers, and for those of us who think about how the cost of living affects the attractiveness of Arizona to migrants from around the nation. The good news, I think, is that we've also, over the past couple of months, seen a significant ramping up of housing permits. Mm-hmm. So they fell way off in April, as you might expect,
right?
But in May as well. But they rebounded really strongly in June and July. We'll get the data today for August housing permits. So we'll be addressing that on our various websites, Arizona's economy and the MAP dashboard as well. I think there is some hope for the additional building to help provide some relief there. There are also really interesting questions these days about what will happen to the demand for housing. How might the pandemic shift that demand? Might it shift more demand towards outlying areas as people spread out a little bit more, look for a little bit more space around their house, maybe look for a single-family dwelling, whereas before they were happy in an apartment. But now that, that large segments of the population are working from home and spending a lot more time at home, more space seems attractive. In addition, there are big questions about how the pandemic might affect migration across U.S. states as more and more people find that they can work from home. They may choose to work in a different state. Particularly, there's some interesting questions about whether people in Southern California might choose a cheaper place to live, a place with lower housing costs, lower cost of living, and certainly Arizona might be attractive there.
George, we're with George Hammond wrapping up. This might be my last question, George. We've got about 2.5 minutes to go, but is there a point where sustained growth in home prices, where maybe not enough supply, where that number gets to be negative on economic growth? We do see around metro areas where if housing costs and the cost of living does not remain relatively affordable, even despite economic growth, that can actually slow long-term sustainable economic growth. Are we near that point in Tucson yet, or should we just be happy with our property prices going up?
Well, there is a point where that can start to make Arizona and Tucson a less attractive migration destination. I don't think we're close to there yet, but housing affordability overall is drifting down because house prices are generally rising faster than incomes. So eventually, that does become an issue. And in terms of housing, particularly in the midst of the pandemic, there are also issues of what will happen to the large numbers of individuals who've lost their jobs, whose unemployment insurance benefits, if they even qualify for them, are now greatly reduced, and there's a lot of uncertainty about what will happen in terms of possibly increasing those benefits, generating a new supplement in the future. So there are issues about evictions and what evictions mean,
right,
not just for people who are losing their homes, but for the property owners as well. In many cases, those properties are purchased with credit, with debt, and that can create a problem when the income stream stops. It becomes difficult or impossible to service that debt, and then you have problems that are filtering into the financial system. And we've been down that road before in 2008, 2009, and we saw how ugly that can get.
Right, George Hammond. The time always goes so quickly. That takes us to the end, unfortunately. But thank you for your time this morning. Thanks for the full update. We'll work to have you back in October to continue to help us make sense of what's going on going forward. So stay safe and stay healthy, George, and thanks again.
Thanks, Zach.
George Hammond, University of Arizona economist from the U of A. We'll be back on Friday, as we always are, same time, same place, to wrap up the week. That closes our show today. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow, Tucson.